Hi, and welcome back to the Childhood Development Initiative's Restorative Practice podcast, where we talk all things ORP. For this second season, we resume visiting communities and organisations to collect stories from practitioners around Ireland. We talk to young people, teachers, lecturers, youth and community workers, and restorative practices trainers to gather their insights on the impact of ORP in their life and work. Each episode is focusing either on a place with several voices or on a practitioner. If you are not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative approach, the restorative questions, and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of season one of our podcast series where it is all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danieu, Restorative Practice Quality Specialist for CDI, and I'm delighted to be back on the road for this second season of Circles of Connection. For this episode, I went to St. Mark Primary School in Tala West and met Niamh Foley and Deirdre Lavelle, teachers, and some of their lovely third-class students. St. Mark is one of the first schools in Tala to have implemented restorative practice, and we talked about it and focused on how they build relationships through circles. SPHE will be mentioned a couple of times in the episode. For our listeners who may not be familiar with the Irish curricula, SPHE stands for Social, Personal and Health Education Curriculum. First, Niamh introduced herself and tells us a bit more about the implementation of RP in the school.
Hi, my name is Niamh Fowler. I'm a teacher here in St. Mark's. We're a senior primary school. I have about 500 pupils. We began our journey with restorative practice back in 2010. So we were introduced to it as a whole staff through training organised through CDI. And from there, it sort of grew quite organically, I guess, because we really weren't sure what it was going to look like. And I don't know if we really had a map as to how it was going to grow. Through the organisation, we were probably among some of the first schools that were trying this out. And from there, a few of us went on to train further. And then with the view of kind of bringing it back to our schools and supporting the staff and the students within the school to help with its implementation. But really, it did kind of grow organically. We began very, very small steps. We started introducing the processes like circles, sort of the proactive processes, so that we did, I guess it was kind of lend itself very naturally to classrooms, you know, to sit in a circle and to do some of the community building work. And then we realised there was a lot of work around needed around sort of developing our emotional language and emotional literacy. So we looked at ways that we could sort of develop that. We use the RP process in mainly a proactive manner. So it provides structures to kind of build that relational caring culture that you want to create. We use the structures of RP also to support the conflict resolution. So we use the questions and the conversations to try to draw out that concept of harm and the impact on others and responsibility and restoration. It would be part of our, you know, part of our policy now around behaviour. So it's becoming embedded, you know, in the organisation. But it's constantly, you know, you need to refresh and continue the work. You know, it's not something that you feel you're ever done with, you know. It's, as I say, it's not a package that you take out and you just use, you know, when there's an issue. It's something that you're always working with. Every year you have new children coming in and children leaving. Every year we have, you know, new staff and, you know, new things that come up naturally, you know, so you're always trying to find ways, you know, to kind of rebuild that capacity within ourselves, or refresh that capacity within ourselves to work restoratively. We know that it's a mindset, and we're trying to be our best selves when we're working restoratively. You know, you feel you're treating your students, you know, as relational human beings. We're teaching them how to relate to each other, how to connect with each other, understand each other, how to express themselves in, you know, in moments. And that's all part of the work of teaching and working with young people. So I think when we began, as I said, we felt circles were probably one of the most natural places to begin, especially working with young people in primary school class. You're with them all the time, you know, so a primary school class, you can sort of very easily find that little space to kind of sit in circles. And a lot of the, you know, a lot of the work, as I said, was sort of around community building, relationship building, but also using it in a responsive way, you know, when maybe there was an issue we wanted to discuss. And just, I think, over time, we probably, you know, I started very gently, and I think you can do that, you know, just giving everyone a space to be comfortable speaking in the circles. But I really have seen the impact of that, you know, in classrooms, just among the groups of children, just beginning in a very slow and kind of gentle way to let everybody be comfortable with speaking in the circle, to seeing them, you know, relate to each other, listen to each other, give each other little bits of advice, you know, those little moments where, you know, they say, oh, actually, you know, I really understand where you're coming from there, or, oh, I actually felt like that once too, and this is what I did, you know. So I often think about the impact of it, and I don't know if I have any big moments I'd say, oh, this, you know, but I have lots of small, really important, valuable moments, you know, where I think I sort of was outside of the whole thing. I was just holding, you know, the little space, and they were, the children were talking to each other and listening to each other and giving each other that support. So there was like lots of little magical moments over the years. And I think I've seen among groups just that bond and connection that it can create, you know, just the power of that one process even, you know. But within that, there's lots going on, you know, there's the learning, you know, using the language, finding ways to connect with each other, using those really listening skills, you know. And I just think, I remember talking to one of the children around it, and they were only 9 or 10, and saying to me, you know, teacher, like, you might have a perspective on something, but like another person will have a perspective on something too. And that's not just for school, that's for your whole life. I'm thinking, isn't that an amazing, you know, piece of learning, you know, from a 9 or 10 year old student, you know, for them to be able to say that. I thought that was just really powerful. And if they could carry that forward, you know, if we could all do that, like what we could do with that in the world.
Deirdre talks about our practices to foster and maintain healthy relationships in her classroom.
My name is Deirdre Lavelle, and I'm a third class teacher here in St. Mark's Senior National School in Tala. I have returned to teaching, having been seconded out to the support services for many years, and this is my first time back in the classroom in quite a while. And I was very excited last summer when I knew that I was going to be going back into the classroom. And I was even more excited because I would be having the opportunity to engage in restorative practices with children, having been working with adults for a long time. And I was really, really, really looking forward to seeing how that was going to go. So in my daily practice here in school, we do a circle every day. And on Mondays and Fridays, our circles would tend to be a longer circle. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we would have maybe like a shorter, just quick go around circles. So always looking for energy levels, using a circle round. And on Thursdays, we do Thankful Thursdays. And I think that allows the children an opportunity to reflect on what they're grateful and thankful for in their lives. And it always tends to come back to family, friends, food, having a home to live in, a school to come to every day, and that feeling of safety. So I think it's really lovely to hear that from the children in my class. I find running the circle from a logistical point of view, it's easy for me. I actually don't move the desks back. We just put our chairs around the desks and make our circle. And we have our talking pieces, two giraffes, one Penny and the other is Jerry. And the children are always very excited to, you know, get either one of them to use for a talking object, speaking object in the circle. I find, having started with the circles since last September, and if I look back now, I think the circle is incredibly powerful to develop relationships within the classroom, between the children, between the children and myself, and with our special needs assistant, Miss O'Toole, also in the classroom. There's a lovely sense of calm, a lovely sense of equality, knowing that your voice is going to be heard, that you're going to listen to others and can find out and, I suppose, learn more about the people, the children in our classrooms. I suppose sometimes something that I find very powerful about the circle is that I myself, it's that honesty piece, I suppose, and showing up for who I am, that sense of vulnerability. Sometimes maybe when my energy might not be so, you know, high for whatever reason, but being able to express that and model that for the children also gives them that safe, comfortable space to be able to express themselves in a safe way, which is very important for me. And that leads on then, I suppose, to that piece around emotional literacy. We're doing an awful lot of work, I suppose, in SPHE around the language of feelings. And I find then that this is very helpful for when maybe a disagreement arises within the classroom. Now, just from my observation of the class that I'm working with this year, I'm finding that I would not really have that many conflicts to deal with, like on a weekly basis at all. They would tend to be, I suppose, minor disagreements really in the grand scheme of things. And I just wonder, maybe perhaps is it because we are proactive as a class in building and maintaining, and I suppose that's sustaining of our relationships with one another. Might that be the case? I don't know. I'm just wonder. That's something that I wonder about. But anyhow, when conflicts do arise, we do of course use the restorative practice questions. I tend to focus as minor third. I tend to focus on the what happened, and I find even as I ask that question, so much, you know, can come from that question, and then focusing on the what happened next. Like, what, where do we want to go from here? What would we like the solution to be? For me, some very powerful things that have happened by using those questions is that whilst I am asking the children those questions, they know they're fair. They know they're all going to be asked the same. I've overheard them saying, you know, she's going to ask us these questions. And I think that's really important, you know, that consistency for me as a teacher. But I suppose what's really important is, you know, they're asked their questions. They have their opportunity to voice, you know, their side of the story, and to listen to the other side of the story too, and to hopefully reach an agreement together. And I have found in my cases, you know, that agreements have been reached, and the friendships, you know, or, you know, has been restored. So that's very helpful. It's nice to have that, you know, I suppose, framework, and to be consistent with it is really important. One thing I would say is, I suppose, as I've become more comfortable, you know, when disagreements arise, and that I'm really beginning to notice that the children are nearly empowered themselves to find the solution. It's not me coming in to offer the solution. They're able to come up with that themselves. And I think I've children there that are 8 and 9 years of age, to have the capacity to do that with one another and to empathise when things go wrong, and to find the solution is just wonderful to be able to see that with young children.
Lastly, we recorded a circle with some of our students, and we mostly talked about how they experience circle time and why it's important to them.
My name is Caitlin, and my energy is a 9, and my favourite thing to do on the yard is play, like, it's called like horses, and I play it with my friend.
My energy is a 9. My name is Emily, and my favorite game to play on yard is me and my friend play like a color block game.
My energy is a 9, and I also like the color block game, but I also like hide and seek tag.
Hello, my name is Caden, and my favourite game in Yad is playing tag with my friends.
My energy is a 9, and my name is Eamon, and my favourite game in Yad, well, I don't really have one, I just like talking to my friends.
My name is Leon, and my energy is an 8, and I also just talk to my friends in Yad.
My name is Erica, and my energy is an 8, and my favourite game is this game called Fingerprints.
My name is Deirdre Lavelle, and my energy is 8 today. And I was in school a long time ago too. And one of my favourite things to do when I was in school was actually I used to love going down and minding the junior and senior infants on the yard.
My name is Anish. My energy is a 9 today. And my favourite game on yard is to play tag.
My name's Arentis and my energy is a 7. And my favourite game to play on yard is tag.
My name is Harrison and my energy is 9 and my favourite game to play on yard is tag.
Thank you very much. So tell me more about circles. I think you do a lot of circles in your class. So how is it? Do you like it? Why do you like it?
Sometimes we do SVHA in the circle. I like to hear people's expressions and feelings of what they're doing about their family.
You can know what people like to do on their weekends or maybe after school.
I like using the circle in the classroom as a teacher because it gives me, I suppose, the opportunity to learn more about the pupils in my class.
I like the circle because that, like, I could learn about my friends.
I like the circle because we can learn about other people and we can try to make friends with them.
I like the circle because we have time to, like, express our feelings.
Sometimes we do drama in the circle.
I like that everybody can put on an acting voice and it's just really fun to see what they can come up with in the time.
Because in the circle, like, there's no other place that you have to be looking. You don't have to turn your head or anything. All you can do is just look in the circle and see what they created.
And sometimes we can use it for English, and I like listening to everything that people have to say.
I don't really know what we use. Like, we use the circle for a lot of things, but there's something that I like about the circle, and it's that, like, everybody gets a chance to talk and say what they have to say.
The circle helps you to listen to other people and it helps you to make friendship with other people.
Because you can hear what other games people like to play during after school hours, and you might have some things in common with them.
Say if you say, like, your favorite animal or something in the circle, like something that's very important to you, someone might relate to it and then you just can become friends.
Maybe if somebody's like has like a dog and you also have a dog, that could be something.
It kind of feels like there's a magic spell in the circle and it just makes it feel good.
I really liked when we did what pets we have in the circle. I really liked that one because I got to say all the pets I have.
I liked the favourite food one and what pets we have.
I like the one where we told about our family and our names, how many siblings or parents we have.
I like the pet one because I was able to talk about my little dog Luna.
It's kind of like just like a spell. Like every time someone's talking, it's like a spell going around the circle and just goes into people and makes them feel good.
Saying in the circle, like say if you were having a bad day because like you spilled your cereal and you didn't have time to make a new one. And then you go into the circle. You just can't be angry after it. It's just not possible. Because all your friends are listening to you, and then you get to listen to your friends and all. Then you just forget about whatever you are angry about.
Because, like, the circle makes you calm. And, like, whenever I go in the classroom, I just feel welcome. This is an imagination as well, but I think like we could name our class the circle class because like we are into circles, like too much into circles. So like we could name our class the circle class and like kind of make it into like a circle shape.
This is also just in my imagination as well, but like if we did make a circle school, we could make like other circle shaped buildings, and then that could be where like our clubs can be. Like there can be a hockey club there, football club or anything else.
It's a bit more possible to do, like, if we did every subject in a circle rather than having a circular-shaped school or class.
I think we could say if we're doing maths, like, and we had to, like, correct it,
Then we pass it around until they get to Miss Lavelle. And then she just corrects it in the circle. Circles does help everything. Like, it's just not possible to have a circle without a helping everything.
The circle always makes you feel welcome to the classroom.
Thank you very much to all involved.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to our show.